Hey, Mama. I know getting meals on the table for your family can feel tough, especially finding weeknight-friendly meals that everyone in the family will love. There's a good chance it's why you're here, at least I hope so. Helping moms take the stress out of feeding their family is my biggest passion. It's why I share with you here, and it's why I created the Healthy Mama Cooking Club. If you've ever wished this podcast came with a weekly done-for-you dinner plan with a shopping list and meal prep tips, or maybe a recipe library with over 200 family-friendly recipes, cooking tips, how-tos, and hacks? Well, it does, and it's all in the Healthy Mama Cooking Club over on Patreon. Starting at just $3 a month for access to our 200-plus recipe vault with printable PDF recipes, or $5 a month for weekly done-for-you dinner plans, plus the recipe vault and bonus podcasts every month, the Healthy Mama Cooking Club is the dinnertime solution you're looking for. Head to patreon.com/healthymamachris or click the link in the show notes to try it out for a week free and join over 130 other busy mamas making weeknight meals work with the Healthy Mama Cooking Club. I can't wait to see you in there. All right, let's get on with the episode. The cold months of winter are almost over. March is finally here, which means spring is just on the horizon. Hallelujah. Which also means if you are anything like me, I am already starting to think about spring cleaning and spring organizing. Now, I know this is a podcast about food, but hear me out. The first place I always start when I am getting ready to organize and clean in the springtime or any time of the year is the kitchen, because the kitchen is one of the places in the house that I spend the most of my time, and chances are you also spend most of your time as well getting meals ready for your family. And an organized kitchen is an easier kitchen to work in. When your drawers are stuffed and everything is haphazardly thrown in cupboards, it's hard to find the things you need to cook efficiently. And I think we can all agree that we want to cook more efficiently. So in today's episode, I want to share with you some of my best tips and hacks for decluttering and organizing your kitchen for more efficiency. Does cooking feel like a struggle more often than you want to admit? Do school lunches get boring after the third week, and even cereal for breakfast sometimes feels like too much effort? Let alone feeding yourself and your family meals with vegetables they'll actually eat? If you're a busy mama like me, you can probably relate. I'm Chris Dovniak, and welcome to My Healthy Mama Kitchen. I'm a trained chef, culinary nutritionist, and mama of two, and I'm here to guide you in making healthy eating easy and accessible by simplifying your meal plan, demystifying meal prep, taking the stress out of weeknight dinners, and helping you learn to cook your family delicious, nutrient-dense meals along the way without spending hours in the kitchen or thousands of dollars a month at Whole Foods. In this podcast, I'm here to share my best tips, tools, and hacks for your real-life Healthy Mama Kitchen with a side of humor and sometimes a little bit of spice. So grab your favorite apron and let's get cooking. Welcome back to the Healthy Mama Kitchen podcast. I'm Chris Dovniak. I'm the founder of Healthy Mama Chris. I'm a trained chef and a busy mom just like you, and I'm your host. And in today's episode, I am so excited to chat with you about organizing your kitchen so your cooking is easier. I know that this might seem like a bit of an odd topic for a podcast that is primarily about food, but I really want you to take this information in and consider how it might make a huge difference in your cooking life. Because if you're like me, you cook most meals at home. That means breakfast, lunch, dinner, whether you are prepping them ahead or you are prepping them on the fly, we are in our kitchens often. And a messy kitchen, a disorganized kitchen, is just a harder kitchen to work in. So any of you who know my story and my history as a chef, I have lived in many, many kitchens and worked in many, many kitchens. So the majority of my career, I have worked as a personal chef or a private chef, depending on the capacity that I worked with my clients. So I've worked in many other people's kitchens, and I've had to work around their organizational systems for how they have their things organized in their kitchen. I've worked in rental kitchens, a lot of rental kitchens, actually. I had one primary client when I was working as a personal chef full time that would come into the city about once a month, and they would stay in different places almost every single time. I've worked as a private chef on an island for a week where we had very little access. There was like a really, really small grocery store, a very small kitchen, and I was cooking for 10 to 15 people for the whole week in this tiny little kitchen. I've worked in professional kitchens and, of course, my own kitchens as well, and I've had many of those too. We have moved 9 times in our 16 years together, so I have a lot of experience in different kitchens, and I have learned what works and what doesn't in keeping a kitchen organized so that cooking is easier, because that should be your primary goal of organization in the kitchen. I know a pretty kitchen, an aesthetic kitchen, is awesome, but an organized kitchen is going to make cooking less stressful. So that's what I want to talk about today. I've talked about this topic before. I know this isn't the first time I've talked about it, but I kind of want to take you through 5 ways that you can organize your kitchen for easier cooking, starting with the decluttering process and then moving into kind of evaluating how your kitchen is set up now and then how to organize your kitchen into zones, which is how professional kitchens organize their kitchen for easier, more efficient cooking. And then a couple more tips I have for making the whole cooking process that much easier. And I want to encourage you, before I dive into these tips, first and foremost, I am not an organizational freak. Not that people who are organized are freaks. I don't mean to say it like that. I mean, I am not hyper-organized. I am not someone who is like obsessively cleaning my house other than my kitchen. My kitchen needs to be immaculate for what I do. But other than my kitchen, like there are piles of laundry in my bedroom right now. I'm in my podcast quote unquote studio, which is my walk-in closet in my bedroom. So there are piles of clothes in there, both dirty and clean. We try and keep our house organized, but we're a super busy family. So this is my real life organizing my kitchen as like the number one place in my house that is organized makes the biggest difference in reducing this massive area of stress in my life. So know that I am a normal, busy mom with piles as well, but the organized kitchen does make a difference, and you don't need to do this overnight. So take these tips, take them one at a time. This might be a good time to take some notes. I don't always tell you that on the podcast, but it might be a good time to grab the notes app on your phone while you're listening and just jot some things down. Maybe you're cleaning while you're listening, or maybe grab a notebook, a post-it note, and just take some notes and take this step by step. I've always found in any area of my life, if I try and overhaul everything at once, it doesn't usually last. So I recommend taking the time, taking each one of these steps one at a time and going through them, maybe over the course of the month or maybe even 2 months. And at the end, you will have a more organized, efficient kitchen. All right, so let's dive in. Tip number one, the first way to organize your kitchen for easier cooking is you've got to declutter. So the first step here is to go through your kitchen. That means each and every drawer and cupboard. This is why I told you this is going to take some time, and it's okay that it takes time. Let it take some time, because the more time that you take doing this, I find oftentimes whenever I do any sort of organizing project, having my eyes on something more than once is a benefit, especially when it comes to decluttering. So I recommend maybe taking a section of your kitchen, depending on how big your kitchen is, and maybe doing, you know, 10 to 20 minutes every day for a week to just declutter. Okay, or maybe you take an hour on a Saturday afternoon, whatever works for you, but you don't need to do this all at once. Again, what I want you to do is go through each drawer and each cupboard, and before you organize, remove anything you don't need to keep in the kitchen. So anything that's cluttering the space, anything that doesn't belong. So cluttering the space, do you use this on a weekly basis? If you don't, or maybe it's not something you're using in this season, is there another place in your house you can keep it. As we go into the spring, if you don't plan on using the slow cooker as much and it's taking up space on your counter or in your cupboard that you could use for something else you might use more often, can you move that out to the garage or a storage closet? Can you get it out of the way so you have more space? Now, if you have the space and it feels like a hassle for you to move something that you use often, don't move it. If you use it weekly, especially if you use it more than weekly, keep it in your kitchen. We're going to remove the things you don't need, so you should have more room for the things that you use more often. But the key here is remove anything you don't need to keep in the kitchen, anything that's cluttering the space, anything you don't use weekly, or anything that doesn't belong. If you have, you know, a junk drawer, that's fine, but anything else, remove it. Remove anything that is broken or that you are just like, why did I even buy this? Like, I don't need this avocado slicer. I just use my knife. You can donate it. You can set it aside in, you know, another place that's not your kitchen because you might want it later. Totally up to you, but remove anything you don't need to keep in the kitchen. That's number one. This is the point where I also like to take everything out of the cupboards and drawers, give it a good wipe down, and just pop it back in there for now. We can, or we will, put these things back in a better order later when we evaluate our kitchen setup and organize our kitchen into zones. But to start, you're just going to declutter. You're going to remove anything you don't need to keep in there, anything that's cluttering the space, that's broken, that you're not using weekly, or that doesn't belong. This is also a good time to just initially move things if they're not where they make sense. My husband is amazing. He is a super big help when I am in a big recipe development mode where I am developing several recipes a day. He does the dishes often for me. And it took me a long time to not get annoyed when he puts things in places that I wouldn't. We all think a little bit differently. For the most part, I put like with like in the kitchen, but my kitchen is also set up for efficiency, like I'm going to talk about. So there are some things, like small bowls, for instance, that are in a spot in the kitchen outside of the other bowls. So if he puts some of the other bowls, I can't get mad because he's just putting like with like, and that's what I tell him to do. That's the easiest way to organize. So if those bowls are in a different place or whatever it is in a different place, you can move that now. But remember that we might be moving these things in the future. So, you know, kind of put them where makes sense to you for now, but know that it's not the time for a whole overhaul. We're just decluttering and just doing that kind of first sweep. So take some time to do this. Take, you know, a week or an afternoon and declutter as your first step. Number two, you want to evaluate your kitchen setup now. So take a bird's eye view of your kitchen. Consider how you're cooking now in your kitchen. What is constantly annoying you? What can you never find? What is working and what isn't? When do you have to run across the kitchen to grab something when you're in the middle of cooking and then your onions are burning? It's really important to take the time to consider how you cook. You might want to take a week here, and as you're cooking, as you're making breakfast, as you're making lunches, as you're making dinner, to start to think, okay, what is working and what isn't? Is my setup now helping me or hindering me in making cooking happen faster? So like I said before, our natural inclination with organizing, and this does work in other areas, is to keep like with like. And this can apply in the kitchen, but when it comes to cooking, we are going for efficiency. We're going for cooking faster and less stressfully. Stressfully? I think I made up a new word. But we want cooking to be faster and less stressful. So what you want to consider with your kitchen is, number one, how do I move around my kitchen? We all have a different kitchen. Some people have a galley style kitchen. Some people have a kitchen island. Some people have a U-shaped kitchen. What does your kitchen look like? And how do you move around your kitchen when you're making breakfast, when you're making lunch, when you're making dinner? Is what you need accessible where and when you need it? Now, this isn't going to be an exact science, but I want you to consider where you're standing when you're prepping most of the time when you're cooking. and are the things you need when you are cooking or preparing school lunches or whatever you're doing, are they accessible? Or are you running back and forth around the kitchen into the other room? Can you find what you need easily? Or is your kitchen setup actually costing you more time when it comes to cooking and or preparing meals? So evaluate your kitchen setup. What is working and what isn't? It's not just about like with like. It's about how are you moving through your kitchen? Are the things where they make sense while you're actually cooking? If the answer is no, if you're like, no, I am constantly going to the other side of the kitchen to look for this thing, and I do it every single time I make breakfast or every single time I'm cooking dinner, then something needs to change in order to make your kitchen work for you. Remember, that's the goal here. You want your kitchen to work for you. Yes, we want it to look clean and organized, but we want it to work for us because we don't live in pretend Instagram worlds, right? We live in the real world where we actually have to cook in our kitchen. So despite, you know, you see my kitchen on Instagram all the time if you follow me over on Instagram. If you don't, I'm at Healthy Mama Chris. Come and join me over there for some family-friendly recipes. But you see, when you see the background of me in my kitchen right now, I just moved a couple of things around, but you can see my hot water heater behind me. That is directly underneath where I keep my mud water matcha and my collagen powder, which is what I make first thing in the morning. I grab a mug, I walk over, I pour my matcha powder and my collagen into my mug. I set up the hot water heater before I do that. And then I pour the hot water in there, froth it. The frother lives in the drawer right underneath it. So in the morning, I can have my matcha first thing. Now, I won't lie, my Smeg water heater is like one of my favorite things in my kitchen. I think it's so cute. I love the color. I love the retro look. So yeah, it looks good on camera, but it actually works for me in the setup of my kitchen and my morning routine. Right next to it, I have a little tray where I have my main oils and my salts. So my kosher salt and my real salt that I use in my cooking. So that is right next to my stove. And right above that in the cupboard, I have my spices. Now, not directly above the stove. You don't want your spices directly above the stove because that humidity can cause them to degrade faster, but they are next to the stove. And I do typically use the other side of the stove. That's just kind of my inclination. So that is where I keep my spices, my oils, my salt, so I can easily grab them when I'm cooking. Does it look good? Yes. But does it work? Yes. On the other side of my stove, I have a container with my main utensils that I use for cooking. Now, like I mentioned, my husband doesn't always put things back where I want him to. He tends to put all of the utensils in there, and I do find myself moving any of the utensils I don't use often into the drawer underneath. In any case, the utensils I need fast are right there next to the stove. So we can make it look good, but it needs to be efficient. So all that being said, I want you to take this time, declutter, evaluate your kitchen setup, what is working, what isn't, based on how you move around the kitchen and if what you need when you are moving around the kitchen, because remember, we all move around the kitchen differently. We all have different kitchen shapes and it really needs to work for you. Once you've done that and the answer is yes or no, if the answer is no, it's not quite working for me, I could make some changes, then let's move on to step number 3. Let's organize your kitchen into zones for efficiency. The most efficient way to organize a kitchen is with zones. So let's talk about kitchen zones. This is what professional kitchens use for kitchen efficiency, small kitchens as well as large kitchens. And yes, you can employ this in your own home kitchen. So there's something that we learn about, or we learned about in culinary school, called the kitchen work triangle. It's the idea that in an ideal kitchen, the line drawn between the refrigerators, the stove, and the sink creates a triangle within which the cook easily moves about. Okay? So imagine a kitchen. You can imagine my kitchen. If you follow me on Instagram, or imagine your own kitchen as well, I did not design my kitchen. We live in a rental, and it just so happened that the kitchen is set up pretty darn well for the kitchen work triangle. So you have the sink in the middle, okay, which you can sort of see when I'm sharing with you in my kitchen from doing my meal prep or whatever. The sink is in the middle, directly across from the stove, which is next to the fridge. There's just a small counter in between. So you can draw a triangle between sink, stove, fridge, and you can go back and forth and easily move around the kitchen to get what you need from the fridge to the stove, from the stove to the sink to the stove, and back and forth. Now, obviously, we're not all just remodeling our kitchen because we don't have that kitchen work triangle, but we can use that idea of the kitchen work triangle to consider how the way we have the things in our kitchen set up can help us to move around more easily and efficiently. So the way that you can do this in your own kitchen is to put things where you actually use them by using kitchen work zones. Generally speaking, there are five basic kitchen work zones. The first is the consumable zone. The second is the non-consumable zone. The third is the preparation zone. The fourth is the cooking zone. And the fifth is the cleaning zone. So let's break it down. The consumable zone, this is pretty obvious. This is the area used to store most of your food. This might be split into two zones. For us, it is, because the way they designed our kitchen, the fridge is on the opposite side of the kitchen as the pantry. But the pantry is still near the cupboards. The counter. So I can easily take things from the pantry, put them on the counter. So it's not too big a deal for us. I do wish that the, you know, pantry was closer to the fridge, but it's fine.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
So the area used to store most of your food is the consumable zone. So this is likely the fridge and the pantry. This might also be food cabinets if you don't have a pantry. We didn't for many years. We used, we had two coat closets in our old apartment. And so one of the coat closets ended up being our kind of carryover food zone. But we didn't have a true pantry. So we did what we could and we used our cabinets. Here we have a small pantry as well as a fridge. So that is our consumable zone. Then there's the non-consumable zone, and this is the area that you're going to use to store your everyday dishes, your plates, your bowls, your glasses, your silverware, and this should be generally where you normally plate your dishes. So typically somewhere near the stove, the oven, where you would take things off in order to put them in the bowl and serve them to your family. Ideally, this would be somewhat separate from doing the actual cooking, because it is easy for family members who might be trying to set the table to bump into the cook in the kitchen, but this isn't always ideal. For us, like I said, I typically cook on the right side of my stove for the most part. I just like those burners the best. And when I am cooking on the right side of my stove, the non-consumables are right over there as well. So I do tend to bump into the kids or my husband a little bit while they're trying to set the table, but it still works for me. That spot is the most ideal for us, so we keep it like that. I could move it over to the other side, but I like the non-consumables where they are, because our glasses are there too, and that's right by the fridge. So if we want to take something out of the fridge and pour it into a glass, it's also very close to our AquaTrue water filter, which we use often. So it kind of makes sense for us. Again, this isn't going to be perfect. It just needs to make sense for you. The third zone is the preparation zone, and that's the area where most of your kitchen prep happens. This might be part of the countertop. It might be your kitchen island. We have a galley-style kitchen with a breakfast bar, and we have a huge kitchen island. So in the center of it is our sink, and so the largest portion of it is where I generally prepare my food. So that's where my booze board cutting board, it's a big wooden block cutting board. That's where that lives. And that's where I tend to do most of my prep. This is also where you're going to want to keep your prep utensils, if at all possible. Again, my kitchen is great, but unfortunately, the layout of my kitchen is kind of wonky. Where the biggest portion of prep space is in my kitchen is where the dishwasher is, rather than the other side where there's a small prep section. I still do some prep over there, but it tends to be where like dishes pile up and things like that during the day, and it's not the most ideal prep area, but that is where there's a drawer and a cupboard for prep. So it's not ideal, but it does work. I just kind of have to walk to the other side of the counter. So that's where I keep things like my knives and my microplane and my kitchen scissors and my peeler, my measuring cups, my measuring spoons, as well as things like plastic bags, plastic wrap, and foil, things that I would use in food preparation. Then there is your cooking zone. So some of this is just laid out by how your kitchen was designed, but that's the area where your stove is, your oven, your microwave, if you have a microwave, is usually over there as well. So your cooking zone is where you're gonna do most of your cooking. I also include this area. Mine is my stove with two small portions of counter on either side. I don't do prep over there other than just bringing anything that I need, any of my mise en place, over to the stove in order to cook on the stove. I don't do my prep over there, okay? That is where I do my cooking. I also include that area as the area, and you can see me on Instagram when I do my meal prep, okay? I'm just using Instagram as an example because that's a great visual. I am going to finally try and do a kitchen tour for the Healthy Mama Cooking Club, so if you're over there, I'll do a tour this month so you can see my kitchen and you can see the setup, but I've got to get my husband to help me with it, and I haven't been able to nail him down to do a kitchen tour with me. But you can tell when I do my meal prep, there is a cupboard when you're looking at it to the left of my stove where I keep my slow cooker, my air fryer, my instant pot, my rice cooker, and my waffle maker. So all of those live underneath that cabinet and I pull them out, and that is also an additional cooking area whenever I'm going to use any of those appliances. So they're easy access to the counter where there is a plug as well where, you know, it all stays in one zone. All of the cooking is done in that area. I'm not taking up my prep space with any of my cooking items or appliances, I should say. And then last but not least, you have your cleaning zone. That's the area that contains the sink and the dishwasher. Like I said, in my kitchen, it kind of runs into my prep space, but it is what it is. And so you want to keep all of your cleaning supplies in that area. It's also helpful if you've got young kids. If all the cleaning supplies and all the cleaning things are in one area, you can kind of keep that locked up. Any of that cleaning stuff. I mean, you might have another place in your house, we do, to keep cleaning supplies. But in terms of the actual kitchen cleaning supplies, we keep that under our sink, and that all stays in one area. So cleaning zone, not what we're going to get into today, but that's kind of self-explanatory. So knowing these zones, okay, knowing the five zones, consumables, non-consumables, preparation, cooking, and cleaning, how could you move some of the items in your kitchen into different areas in order to make it work for you? Consider that kitchen work triangle. Consider where you tend to prepare your food. The big areas I want you to consider here are, is your non-consumable zone in a place that is easy to access for serving but doesn't get in the way of cooking? Is your preparation zone, this is going to be the, I think the preparation and the cooking zone are the biggest ones I want you to focus on. Is that where, or are the items you need for prep, where you tend to do most of your prep, you might have to move around a couple of drawers. The way that my drawers and cupboards are set up in my kitchen are, again, not fully ideal. So I do have some of my prep items, like my baking sheets and my pots and pans, across from my stove. I wish they were next to my stove. But like I said, I'm very happy with how my appliances are very easily under the cabinet right next to my stove, so I can pull them out and that all stays my cooking zone. So I do have to go across the kitchen, which is like 3 feet to get my baking sheets, which, I mean, typically I am using those in my prep zone anyway. If I'm roasting vegetables, I grab the baking sheet, move it over to my prep zone, just, you know, another few feet away. I grab the parchment paper, which is right above in that drawer, right where I need it. Very, very easy. And then I put my vegetables that I've just prepped on there, pop them in the stove. So it all flows and works very easily. So that's what I want for you. I want it to feel like it flows. I want it to feel like everything happens easily in your kitchen. So my pots and pans are across from the stove, but it works. I just grab them, turn around, put them on my stove, and get cooking. All of the cooking happens in one area, all of the preparation happens in another area, and everything I need is in those areas. How can you move things around so everything you need to prep, or as much as you can that you need to prep, is in your prep zone? How can you move things around so you have your oils and your spices and your salt and your cooking utensils, maybe your cooking appliances, in the area you are going to use to cook rather than cluttering up your prep area? So those are the big areas: the non-consumables, the prep zone, and the cooking zone. What can you do to make this more efficient? How can you simply move a couple things around? You don't need to go out and buy anything. You don't need to do anything but consider what I mentioned before. Is it working? And if it's not, how can you move things around to make it more efficient? I promise you, this will make such a difference in your cooking. And my last two tips are also going to make a difference in your cooking. Tip number 4 might ruffle some feathers. I apologize if you feel called out. I don't mean to call you out, but this is one of my biggest pet peeves. And I want to challenge you, if this is you, if you are living like this currently, to make this the change that you make this week and see how much easier it makes preparing meals. And that is to keep your counters clean. Okay, you know I have some things on my counters, right? I have my oils and my spices and my cooking utensils. I also have my hot water heater and my stand mixer, which doesn't need to be there, but I like how it looks. And I do use it in my prep about once a week. But for the most part, the rest of my counters, especially in my prep zone, on one side of my kitchen, we have our water filter, and we also have, I have a little cup with my garlic in it, and I have my Vitamix on the counter because I use that often to make smoothies. But other than that, our counters are clear. Okay, we have, you know, dish soap and hand soap next to the sink, but that's it. We do not keep mail on the kitchen counters. We do not keep toys on the kitchen counters. If the kids leave hairbrushes on the kitchen counters, because we do have a breakfast bar there, they get in trouble. Not in big trouble, but, you know, like, move your hairbrush or you're gonna have to use a fork, like like the Little Mermaid. I'm just kidding. I don't actually say that, but they have to move it. They know. And any dirty dishes, if they sit and have breakfast there in the morning, get moved right away. The kitchen counters are clean. Okay, this makes such a world of difference because, first of all, it is really, really unsafe to have things cluttered around you when you're using sharp things like knives, mandolins, right? But it's also so much easier to be able to do your mise en place, do your meal prep, lay everything out when you have space. And for me, I am the type of person, and I know this is true for a lot of people, the more space, the more ease I feel. But it's safer and it's easier to prep in a kitchen with clear counters. So keep what you use the most on your counters. I'm not telling you to have nothing on your counters. I'm saying, can you find a spot for the things that tend to clutter up your counters, instead of leaving those things on the counter and working around them, how can you make your kitchen the space that you keep clear the most so that the thing that you do so often and is so important to keeping your family nourished is easier, right? So clear off your kitchen counters and work on keeping the counters clean. Keep only what you use the most on your counters, like your salt and your oils. But everything else, clear it off and see what difference it makes. Last but not least, do a fridge refresh. I have a whole spring clean series from way back in 2021, and I'll link the episodes about cleaning out your fridge and your freezer down below. I actually did this last week. You guys want to hear a funny story? I mean, you're already here. I broke my fridge. Okay, so I like to do a fridge clean out every week before I do my meal prep. I take out anything, any little bits of leftovers. We try and use as much as we can in the fridge. But, you know, there are things that wilt and I will, you know, toss them in the freezer, or there are bits of dressings or bits of leftovers we didn't get to. I clear all of that out every week and do a little wipe down. But, you know, the fridge needs a deep clean every so often. So I started from the top and cleaned everything out. I took out every single one of my shelves. I have a small apartment size fridge. Even though we live in a full size house, we just got a second fridge actually because it's so small, but at least it's easy to clean. So I pulled out each one of the drawers, each one of the shelves, and I finally got to the bottom part of my fridge where there's a glass shelf that goes over the drawers, the crisper drawers in the bottom. And now I've done this like 3 times before. We've lived in the house for a year and a half now, and I've done this 3 times before. And so I pull it out, I carefully remove the glass, and I bring it over to the sink, and I'm gently scrubbing it with a sponge, and the glass shattered everywhere. I was so thankful. I was doing this on a Saturday morning. My daughter had a birthday party in the afternoon. So I'm like, all right, I'm going to do some cleaning. She can watch a movie and then we'll go and we'll grab some lunch and go to the birthday party. So I'm so glad. I'm like, Ren, because my husband and older daughter were out sailing like they are every Saturday. And I'm like, don't come in here, but come close. So I have her go to the other side of the room, and I wear Crocs when I personal chef or when I teach cooking classes. So I knew that they happened to be in the other room. So I was like, can you go around and go get my Crocs? And because I had bare feet. And this is why you're not supposed to cook in the kitchen with bare feet. I know we keep our shoes off in the house too, but in professional kitchens and when I'm personal chefing, I always keep shoes on because knives and glass and things like that. So she comes in really carefully, gives me my Crocs so I could, you know, step around it. I've never seen so much of a mess. And it did actually cut my feet, like when it fell or when it kind of exploded, because I wasn't putting a lot of pressure on it. It just must have been its time. It like cut my feet. So I had to clean myself up and we had to kind of get as much cleaned up as we could. And then my husband helped me with it later. So I'm so thankful for our second fridge that we have now, because that's where most of our stuff is as we are waiting for that part to come in the mail. Actually, it is Thursday as I'm recording this. It should be in tomorrow. Thankfully, we were able to find the part and we will have 2 working fridges, which I am very grateful for. Our second fridge was like a Facebook Marketplace find for $50. So it's not anything fancy either, but the space is really helpful, especially with my work doing a personal chef and cooking classes. So that story aside, doing a fridge refresh, like a nice deep clean a couple times a year, is really, really helpful. And then doing just a quick clean out each week will help to maintain it. So when I do a fridge refresh, I take everything out. I clean it all. Be very careful that you don't shatter anything like I did. I take everything out. I scrub it down really, really well. I use like 7th generation antibacterial, clean it all out, scrub it. I use a magic eraser to get any bits of stains that might be on there. I like to put an Old Spice canister that's been cleaned out with baking soda in it in the back to help deodorize the fridge. But to be honest, my fridge doesn't get stinky often because we clean it out so often. When people tell me their fridges stink, I'm like, well, maybe we just clean it out more often. Because I think the more we clean it out, the less likelihood that's going to happen. But I think the baking soda helps as well. And then I like to map it out and decide how I want to rearrange things. So I use containers in my fridge to keep like with like. This is where the like with like when it comes to organizing works. So I like to keep the fruit together in containers, all of my meal prep, all of my fresh items together, anything we use for school lunches, things like that. Then anything that's pre-prepped all together, like, you know, lunches, breakfasts that I've meal prepped in their entirety, snacks, I keep all of those together. And then separately from that, I keep the meat that I'm defrosting in a container or fresh meat in a container. And then things that are in containers themselves, like eggs and milk and things like that, go in a different area. I recently adjusted my shelves so that they worked better. Don't be afraid to adjust your shelves. Again, be careful. Don't be afraid to adjust your shelves so things fit in the way that they work best for you. There is no right way to organize the shelves in your fridge. There is a right way to organize your fridge. It's really important that any of your meat goes on the bottom and or in some sort of a tray so that it's not dripping onto anything fresh. The crisper drawers, you want to keep vegetables away from fruit because ethylene gases can make vegetables ripen and go bad faster. I always keep anything perishable in the main part of the fridge. You don't want to keep that on the door. So any less perishable items like condiments can go on the door, but anything more perishable should go in the fridge. It's also important to label things. I love using dry erase markers to label things just to make sure you know what's in there. And use the first in, first out rule. This is something we use in professional kitchens as well. So anything that is anything that's been in the fridge longer, bring it to the front. So you use that first. Or anything that needs to be used right away, like leftovers, put that in the front. So you use that first so things aren't going bad. So just a general fridge refresh. Take it all out, clean it out, put some baking soda in there, map out where you want things to go, place like with like. Don't be afraid to move things around or move the shelves around so that it works for you. Make sure your meat and fish are on the bottom, your veggies are in the middle, especially veggies that are pre-prepped, veggies and fruit are in the middle. You can put cooked items on that level or on top of them as well, but that's the general order you should go with. Obviously, there are crisper drawers as well that you can put vegetables in, but remember to keep those veggies away from your fruit and label so that you know where everything goes. And it's also helpful for the other members in your family to know where things go as well. If you keep like with like, it's easy to keep things organized and do that little refresh every single week, and you are much more likely to keep your fridge nice and tidy for the most part. So definitely listen to that old episode. It still rings true today. I go into much more detail than I just went into, and I don't tell a story about shattering my fridge because hopefully that is a one and only time I will break an entire shelf of my fridge, but do a little fridge refresh. So let's give this a recap. I've been talking way longer than I thought I was going to on this topic, but it's so important, and organizing your kitchen is going to make your cooking easier. Unless your kitchen is already organized in a way that works for you, in that case, well, this probably isn't helpful for you, but I hope you got something out of it. Maybe even just the fridge organization. You want to start by decluttering, evaluate your kitchen setup, what is working and what isn't based on how you move around your kitchen and where you need things accessible, then organize into zones. Remember the 5 work zones, clear off your counters, okay? Give yourself space to work. And do a fridge refresh so that your whole kitchen, top to bottom, in and out, feels organized and easier to use. So I hope you found this helpful. This is something that I know, like I said in the beginning, it might seem kind of funny. This is a podcast about food and I'm talking about organization, but I am telling you, when your kitchen is organized, it makes life so much easier. I recently reorganized the area where I have my meal prep containers because, as you know, I am a huge advocate of meal prep, and I've collected quite a few containers over the years because I find good meal prep containers are very worth it. My favorite favorite by far are the Rubbermaid Brilliance containers, by the way. I will also link any of like my kitchen organizational tools. I have a whole Amazon list and a like to know it list. So I will link those in the show notes if you kind of want a visual of what I use to organize my kitchen and my fridge. But the Rubbermaid Brilliance containers in I have both glass and plastic for different uses. They are a game changer to keeping things in the fridge when I meal prep, but I have quite a few containers and I use them all. And I'm very minimalist when it comes to in general, but mostly when it comes to kitchen equipment. I don't have a ton of gadgets because I don't think they're necessary, but I have a lot of meal prep containers. So I recently moved them out of my kitchen into a cupboard right next to my kitchen, or a little cabinet right next to my kitchen. And I put the mason jars that we use for meal prep in the drawer where the meal prep containers were. And oh my gosh, it makes such a difference. Oftentimes we had the meal prep containers like stacked on the sink because they wouldn't fit in the drawer once we were done using them, or not on the sink, but next to the sink. Like I said, I like to keep my counters clean. Oh, it makes such a difference. So those little things, I promise you, make a big difference. And even this far, you know, 12 years into working as a professional chef, I am still making tweaks to my own kitchen to make it more efficient. So I hope this gave you some inspiration and some insight into organizing your kitchen for more efficient cooking. I would love to hear from you if this has helped you. Tag me over on Instagram at Healthy Mama Chris or Healthy Mama Kitchen Pod and show me how you are organizing your kitchen or organizing your fridge for more efficiency. And feel free to shoot me a DM if you have any questions as you're going along the process and you're like, where do you think I should put this thing? Obviously, we're all different and all I can do is give you my own advice and what would work for me, but I'm always happy to help you. Feel free to shoot me a DM. It's way easier to get in contact with me at Healthy Mama Chris. That's where I spend most of my time. You can also shoot me an email as well, but I'm always happy to answer. And the easiest way to get in touch with me is over in the Healthy Mama Cooking Club. We have our chats and our DMs over there, and I go in at least a couple times a day and check in on that as well. So definitely get in touch if you need some help with this process. I'm happy to help you, and I'm excited to see you all organize your kitchens as we start getting ready for spring and how much it helps you just feel a little bit more ease in the kitchen. So as always, thank you so much for listening to another episode of the Healthy Mama Kitchen Podcast. If you haven't subscribed to the podcast wherever you listen to podcasts, I would very much appreciate if you subscribed so you don't miss an episode. If you haven't left a rating or review and this podcast is helping you, I would so appreciate a positive review on iTunes or Spotify or wherever you get your podcasts. It means the world to me and it really does help me know what type of episode are helping you and what you want me to create more of. And it also helps other people find the podcast as well. So I hope you will go out this week and stay in and organize your kitchen just a little bit for efficiency. Next week, we're going to talk about some of my favorite kitchen tools and how having few but the right tools can help make cooking easier as well. So until next time, happy cooking. Well, I guess I should say happy organizing.
Thank you for listening to Mommy's Podcast.
Friend, thank you so much for listening to another episode of the Healthy Mama Kitchen Podcast. Don't forget to subscribe wherever you love to listen to podcasts so you never miss a cooking tip. If you've been loving this podcast, it would mean so much to me if you left a rating and review on Apple Podcasts. It truly makes a difference in how many other busy cooks find this show and lets me know what you're loving and want to hear more of. For show notes and links to all the recipes and tools I mention, head to healthymamachris.com/podcast. For daily eats, cooking tips, and family-friendly shortcut dinner ideas, be sure to follow along over on Instagram at Healthy Mama Chris. Remember, cooking for your family may not always feel easy, but it can be simple.